right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. I'm still joined by Michael Brocks, a good friend and retired educator from Milwaukee Public Schools. Now, let's have at it.
Yes, sir.
So, who should be held accountable for children not being educated? Is it fair to blame the schools? You know, the schools don't educate kids. People who are in the schools educate kids. So is it safe to blame? Do teachers hold some you know, responsibility in the fact that kids aren't being educated? You're a former educator. Is it safe to point the finger at educators?
Well, Earl, all hands on deck. It's going to take everybody. It takes the administrator, it takes the teacher, it takes the parents, you know, and also the politicians that provide the schools with the resources that they need to educate students. So everybody has to be of concern. It's all hands on deck. Sometimes, and we all have to work together. If especially, you know, with the elementary level kids, K-4 through say 8th grade, and these are new parents. And raising a child doesn't come with a handbook, as you know. So we all have to work together. You have to make the school culture something that invites parents in. They feel comfortable coming in. Too many times, the parents don't even want to come to the school because they don't feel welcome.
Well, there's not. It's safe to say that most administrators have been educated in a manner that they understand or should understand all of those different pieces that have to come together to put the puzzle together in order to make sure that children get educated. I don't think there's any person who reaches the administration level. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about now just mm-hmm. principals. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about superintendents.
Sure.
Who have that responsibility to put all those pieces together.
Well, administrators are under a lot of pressure, all administrators, vertically speaking, to perform and to crunch numbers. And they look at suspensions, they look at successes, they look at failures. Are these schools working? What are the costs involved? So, you know, it's run like a business. So that is their primary.
Is that an issue? Is that a problem to you?
No, but it's a necessary
evil. So yeah. Let me say this, because if in fact a superintendent mm-hmm. who look, that can't be an easy job under any circumstances, right?
No,
you know, you're the CEO,
right?
You know,
right?
And yet. Right. And all of the other pieces that go along with mm-hmm. it. In public schools, mm-hmm. by law, public schools have to educate every child.
Every child.
They don't get to pick of the litter. None of those things.
Right.
This is who you got.
Mm-hmm. This is what we're
by law, yes. You're going to educate them.
Yes.
Many of the private schools can, you know, in many instances, pick and choose.
Well, it's not supposed to be, because it's supposed to be a first come, first serve.
Yeah,
basis. But, you know, but I mean,
supposed to. If ifs and nuts were candy and butts, what a wonderful world it would be.
Yes.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a first come, first serve basis. When the students that apply first, by law are supposed to be accepted at school. But the thing about it is, and let's keep it real, many of these students have been recycled through a lot of these private schools and MPS schools, and the administrators at these schools know who the troublemakers are. And they try to avoid them, but in many cases, they'll bring them back
but
in the private schools.
they don't bring them back into the private school for the most part. Once a kid, again, the private schools don't have the edict by law that every child has to be educated.
But see, the thing about it is they're in competition for the dollars. With the public and private are both in competition for those. And the bottom line is count day. They want to make sure they got students in those seats on count day so that they can get paid for it.
But here's the other aspect of that. Once the student is paid, the school, mm-hmm. the private school, is paid mm-hmm. for that student, mm-hmm. and the student leaves mm-hmm. the private school, mm-hmm. the money doesn't follow that student back to MPS.
No, it doesn't.
The
it
money
goes
stays.
Back into the pot. Goes back into the pot. Okay. Because their count day is, I think it's either two days a year. So they get paid for the first semester and for the second semester based on the number of students who are in their seat on that day.
So let me ask you this. So all of these private schools that have opened and private parochial schools and all of those things.
Yes.
And to say that they are doing a better job of educating kids because they are who they are, it's just not true.
It's not.
Okay, so, but
it's not.
But at the root of that is the politic part of it.
Absolutely.
Because you have elected officials on the state level and national levels who support voucher schools and school choice. Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, mm-hmm. all of those people don't even know the root of vouchers. I know the people.
Well,
I knew the people.
I'm going to say
who started it.
I'm going to bring up one person's name. You know who I'm going to say? Polly Williams. Right?
Yeah, but her and Larry Howard.
And Larry Howard.
Okay, so I'm saying those are the people who created
State Representative Polly Williams.
Yeah, so they created the whole thing, and Governor
Tommy Thompson
was the governor at the time, and so Polly's vision was. All poor children, black children, should have an equal opportunity.
A choice.
On going to the best schools.
Mm-hmm. Their parents should have a choice.
And what separated and what kept their parents away from having choice was they didn't have the money. So you didn't have a choice to go to Pius if you didn't have the money to pay.
Right.
Until vouchers came into existence. You didn't have the money to go to what's the one over on Messmer, unless your parents had the money to pay mm-hmm. until vouchers mm-hmm. came into existence. Mm-hmm. When vouchers came into existence, mm-hmm. this is the backstory for all of you who may not know. And they allowed, it was so loose that there were people who opened schools in storefronts.
Right.
With no books. No educational background,
right?
Nothing.
I've taught in some of those schools.
Okay, so
Okay.
Absolutely. No credentials.
Absolutely.
No credentials.
No
none of that.
No accountability.
Right.
Nothing.
So
we know the horror stories.
So that happened, and they started taking kids away. We know that there are schools that pay parents to take students away from the public school system.
Well,
They offer them things.
Well, they may have four or five students that are coming out. And we're talking about hundreds of families. We're not talking about a small number here.
Right.
I think, MPS is like 10,000 students shorter than they were last year. Because those families
are
looking
to go. Well, 6,000 over the last 2 years and an additional 1,000 coming up next school year. 7,000 since 2021.
And that can cause a couple of schools to close down. Now here we are with vacant buildings. You got to keep the lights on. You have to keep the heat. You got to keep the...
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.